Beans, Couch Potatoes, across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
We have her back.
Hello.
She came back from her vacation, and she does not have Peruvian Super AIDS or anything like that.
As far as I know yet.
At least not yet.
But I do have the medication for it.
There you go.
And I'm taking it every night just to make sure.
we'll ask her a little bit about her vacation, because it's an interesting, she had an interesting trip. It's not a vacation in my sense, because it was work, but a lot of work and exhausting, it sounds like. But then after we talk about that, we're going to talk about The Great Gatsby, and we're going to talk about Tyler Perry's Peoples. We're going to talk about Aftershock and some DVD and Blu-ray and a fun little story of something that happened to me.
I'm looking forward to this, because you've been keeping me in the dark.
It's a secret.
So.
It's a secret. Let's look at the box office real quickly. I am declaring victory. Victory.
Really?
Victory.
You
yes.
won?
Well, you
That's
didn't
insane.
Get, you
I
didn't
can't
give
imagine.
Me a you didn't predict anything last week, so of course I win.
I think somebody else predicted something,
That's
and
right.
he may have actually been closer than you were.
That's true. Nicholas Harum said that
I'm just saying
Iron Man 3 would make $135 million. He was wrong. I said it was going to be $115 million. Technically, I was wrong, but the one looks like a 7.
It's true.
And that's probably why I win.
You do have that. I wonder sometimes how much time you spend trying to figure out how you're going to justify your win each week.
I don't spend that
because,
much time.
Because, you know, that 7 thing, that's quite smart of you.
I just pull it out of my butt.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Pretty much.
I think this takes you 3 days to come up with.
I'm here making graphs and charts and 8x10 glossy photos with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the bath.
Now I know what you're doing all night. How am I going to figure out how I can justify this win this week?
Yes. But Iron Man 3 did win. It was $174 million.
Mm-hmm.
The original, which is actually pretty accurate compared to what the prediction was on Sunday. It said it was going to be 175. And you expect to see a good amount of shifting, but
right.
it was pretty close. Which is the second highest opening weekend ever, second only to The Avengers, which was last weekend.
Right.
Or last year.
Last year.
It's a huge opening. The movie is almost at $800 million worldwide. It's going to be hitting $1 billion in the next couple days, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's one of those things, this whole opening worldwide early, it really gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
And you know, I was watching, we were actually taking a cab through Lima a few days ago, and my husband said, so when is Star Trek opening back home? Like, well, you know, it's in a couple weeks. He's like, it's opening here next weekend. I'm like, yes, it is.
You could have gone and seen it while you
were
I was thinking
that. If I could have just, you know, hunted down some movies that were open there that aren't open home yet.
You watch it in Spanish. I don't understand a word of this movie.
Nope. Yeah. I can pick up a few words. You know, bathroom.
Yeah, you probably had to learn that. You had to learn that when you have to learn where the bathroom is.
Actually, I took 3 years of Spanish, so I can get by more in my head than I can actually speaking it, you know, because I can think through all these things and I can give great monologues in Spanish in my head. But, you know, when it comes time
You're
that somebody asks me a question or I'm trying to figure out what somebody's saying to me, then I'm no good. Theoretically, though, I'm a Spanish-speaking genius.
In your brain.
Mm-hmm. I am.
In your brain. We're all legends in our own minds, yes. Anyways, yeah, Iron Man 3, $175 million, $174 million. Excuse me. That's a great number. And then it was everyone else was just middling, just falling apart in the box office.
Yeah, how about that? Number two, $7.5 million for Pain and Gain. Did anybody see anything other than Iron Man last weekend?
Well, what's interesting
Not so much.
Is certain ones like Oz the Great and Powerful popped back up in the top 10 for some reason. I don't know why.
Nobody saw anything else last weekend, so.
Place Beyond the Pine, same thing. That popped up in there. Because it's
all five people who saw Oz the Great and Powerful, they made a difference because nobody else saw anything else.
Exactly. Anyways, let's talk a little bit of how to get a hold of us. If you want to go to fatguysatthemovies.com, you can find all of our information there. Just go to the Fat Guys at the Movies page. You can leave us a voicemail if you'd like to. You can call us at 740-205-6456. That's...
And we have proof again this week that our voicemail does work.
Yes, it's being put to good use by Thomas from Seattle.
Hello, Thomas.
We'll talk to him later in the show. But again, 740-205-6456, or you can email us at fatguys@fatguysofthemovies.com if you want to get me personally. Hit me on Twitter, twitter.com/Kevin Carr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
That's right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's talk a little bit about your vacation. You went to Peru.
I did. Yes, it was Peruvian boot camp for a week. I am still kind of a little bit all over the place. Yeah. I'm not quite sure which end is up.
You're not
working. Because I was in the Southern Hemisphere.
You're not working on this whole fat guy stuff. You did way too much activity.
I know. I know. I may have dropped a couple of pounds while I was gone. So that wasn't good.
Your level of commitment to this show is staggeringly terrible at this point.
I know. It's terrible. I have to work on that this summer, I think. I have to start working on making more cupcakes.
I love cupcakes. When are you making cupcakes for me?
I'll work on that. I did go out and buy some cupcake mix the other day. So
okay.
Maybe in time for next week's show, I'll have cupcakes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. What did you do? You went to Machu Picchu, didn't you?
We did. We spent a day in Machu Picchu and climbed a lot of stairs and got a little bit sunburnt.
Yeah.
And then we went into the jungle. And we spent a few days in the jungle trekking around and climbing more stairs.
Wow.
And seeing monkeys. And one morning, we got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and went out on a lake.
This is not a vacation.
Seriously, when we got there and after dinner, they told us, okay, well, tomorrow morning, we're going to wake you up at 4 o'clock. And everybody went, okay, good night.
This is like me asking somebody who comes on vacation, I go, what do you do on our vacation? Well, first we went into a dingy basement and they wrapped us in a burlap sack and beat us with sticks.
And we paid for it.
Yeah. At 4 in the morning.
It was really an interesting experience because we stayed in a resort where, you know, we only had power for a few hours a day.
Ugh, why?
And you're in the middle of nowhere. It's
well, wait, what's
jungle.
I mean, what's stopping the power? Did the monkeys take down the power grid or something?
It could be. I don't know. There's one of the people who was in our group with us was pretty convinced that Mothra was in his room.
Ooh.
So he said that at 4 o'clock in the morning, he went and lit a candle, and something huge came and blew it out. So there were rumors of Mothra for the rest of the week there.
I just have this picture of Mothra coming and going, oh, I'm trying to sleep. Get that candle off. What are you, stupid? Moth to a flame.
We saw a lot of very big bugs.
Hmm?
We saw a lot of monkeys.
Hmm?
And when we got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and went to the lake, we went fishing and caught piranhas.
Nice. I saw that on your Facebook page.
I have pictures. So I'm going to have to post them at some point because I have pictures of me with my piranha, and it was pretty awesome.
Did you mean to catch piranhas?
Yeah. Yep. That's what we were fishing for.
Okay.
Although, again, you know, the people in our group, one of the guys was going fishing, and he's all excited. He caught something, and he pulls it up, and the guy's like, yeah, that's a sardine.
Well, no, I have this picture of you going, we're going to go fishing in this lake. Oh, isn't this great? Piranha! What? And then there's somebody swimming that's like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, no!
No, it was intentional.
Gets out of the water and runs across the water like a cartoon.
So, yeah, we had a lot of adventures while we were there. It was exhausting, and we didn't sleep a lot. And it was hot and humid, but we saw a lot of monkeys.
And piranhas.
We
caught
piranhas, and we threw them back after we took lots of pictures of them. Took lots of pictures and played with them for a while, and we got a leaf out and let them chomp on it. It was a lot of fun.
And then the piranha goes home, he takes a shower, and he's shaking. He's like, I was kidnapped. And they just took pictures of
me. They made me eat a leaf. It was terrible.
It was horrifying. Let me go kill a capybara and eat it. We need to go skeletonize a cow.
I saw one of
cow.
Those, too, actually.
The biggest rodent alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How big is it? It's like the size of a dog.
Yeah, pretty much. They're pretty big.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they're... They do have the funniest face because they look like they're just walking around going, oh, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I do
at
4 a.m.
They had those around camp a lot. There were a lot of those around our lodge. It was interesting because we didn't actually have a wall between us and the jungle. So, you know, we'd lay there at night in our mosquito net and listen to everything that was out in the jungle, just hoping that it decided not to climb the fence into our room and, you know.
A panther walks in.
It
What's
can
up,
happen.
Guys?
Hey, guys. And my husband said, he's like, hey, it's okay. We have a mosquito net. I'm like, I'm pretty sure our mosquito net is not going to keep out a puma. Really.
I just see this puma going, I should eat. Oh, look at those two. They look delicious. Oh.
Mosquito net.
What? All the time. It happens all the time. There's a pink panther walking around. And was there a little, like a little short inspector trying to catch the puma?
That would be our guide, actually. Our guide came about up to my shoulder.
That's awesome.
Yeah. His name was Luis, and he was awesome.
Did he wear a trench coat and a hat?
No, he wore a soccer t-shirt.
Nice.
And and his cargo pants.
South America.
There was one night we went out for a...
Actually, yes. I got to hold you on that because we need to go to a break. When we come back, we'll hear about her crazy guide and his cargo pants.
Okay. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
All right.
We were talking about something completely non-movie related.
Sure.
Because, you know, you don't see a lot of movies in the jungle. You barely have electricity in the jungle.
Yeah.
So I was just telling a story about our guide in the jungle. And he was a pretty chill guy, you know, and he had his little bag, his little fanny pack that he took out with us. And, you know, it had bug spray. So, you know, we'd be climbing around and he'd be like, oh, look, here's a wasp.
Wow.
And, but we went out one night on a late night hike, which in the jungle is like 8 o'clock at night because it's pitch black by like six.
Yeah.
So it's 8 o'clock and we're hiking around looking for, you know, bugs or whatever else is out there in the middle of the night. And
sounds like a horror movie. Go on.
Yeah, we saw giant cockroaches, which every time I told it, it got bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, it was the size of your head.
It started out as the size of your thumbnail.
Yeah. So, and it was one of those things, you know, we're in the jungle and I've got my flashlight. I'm like, you know, I'm putting up a good show right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking around. I've got my flashlight. I'm actually looking like I'm looking for stuff.
Sure.
But you know that if I found something that was bigger than, like, my pinky nail, I would have screamed and gone running for that lodge. I mean, there is no way. Like, that giant cockroach was bad enough.
Wow.
You know, and we saw a giant spider. But the interesting thing was, you know, our guide, Luis, he didn't really say anything as we left, but we were kind of out in the jungle, and I noticed that for the first time in the entire time that we were there, he was wearing a first aid kit. And I was like, should I be nervous right now?
Oh, no, don't worry about this at all.
And I'm not going to say anything to everybody else because I know that they'll freak out. Because we were in a group with, you know, middle-aged couples and, like, old ladies, old British ladies in their late 60s. And I was like, I'm not going to say anything about the first aid kit right now, but, you know, I'm not going to be poking around for poisonous beetles.
Well, it'd be better. It's better than if you're like, and then you notice you're like, why do you have a rifle?
Yeah.
You haven't had that the entire time.
No. So, yeah, it was.
Say the jungle. I don't know what accent that was. That is not how they speak in Peru.
It wasn't, no.
All right, let's talk about a movie here.
I guess.
Let's talk about The Great Gatsby.
Okay.
This is the big movie this week, and it is Baz Luhrmann directing his adaptation of F. Scott Fitzgerald's great American novel about love, wealth, and charisma.
I will tell you God's truth. God's truth about myself. I am the son of some very wealthy people. Sadly, they're all dead now.
He had an extraordinary sense of hope, but I had the uneasy feeling that he was guarding secrets.
All right, real quick, the review.
All right.
Because I got something else I have to talk about with The Great Gatsby. I'm a huge Baz Luhrmann fan because I like his style and his visual. I mean,
definitely.
His movies are impossible to look away from.
I was really sad that I missed a screening for this one. Well, I definitely have to catch it yet.
Maybe you'll
change
it. Okay,
I'll listen to you first.
Okay, so I've never read the book. I'm not familiar with the story, but it is this very it's a character study and it's these relationships and that sort of thing. It's the feeling about a guy who kind of gets involved in this circle of friends and some kind of the crazy stuff that goes on with them. But it's ultimately a soap opera. That's really what it is.
Okay, yeah.
And it works. I mean, I'm not going to knock on Fitzgerald for his. I mean, obviously, it stood the test of time. The book. It's like what 100 years.
Well,
ago,
you know, apparently it's,
80
it's
years.
It's all right.
Ago. So
people read it sometimes, I hear.
I wasn't as interested in that, but it works for that. It does run a little bit long. It's like 2 hours and 20 some minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you're going to see this movie is you want to see the spectacle because it's a Baz Luhrmann film. And it's in 3D and it's got all these amazing set pieces and these dance numbers and crazy stuff going on. And it's a very visually interesting film. So if you want to see it, that's
what I'm saying. Does it have Ewan McGregor singing
The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music?
That would work.
There's no can-cans in this movie, but they do have those production.
I do like the can-cans.
He does take music that's out of time. Like, I think there's stuff from Jay-Z in there. And So there's all that anachronistic stuff mm-hmm. that you saw in Moulin Rouge right. as well. So, I mean, it's interesting. It could have been shorter. But on that level, I think it's an okay movie. I have to give it.
Yes.
It kind of sucks because Ooh. I could not enjoy the visuals of it. And here's why.
Okay. It's story time.
Story time.
Sit back with my cup of coffee and enjoy this.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And this is my experience of seeing The Great Gatsby. I've gone in, I've seen the trailer in 3D and 2D, and it looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Start the movie, and I'm like, wow, that's out of focus, and it's way too dark. So I said something to the rep in front of me, and he goes out and talks to them. And they try and focus it, but there's like archival footage they're showing, like old people working in a mine or whatever.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
And they couldn't focus on it, didn't fix anything. And I'm like, okay. And about, I wait another 20 minutes, and I go out and I say something to the manager. I said, it looks terrible. Go, and they go, and you can see him trying to focus during the movie, and it wasn't working. mm-hmm. Never gets fixed. I walked out because it was hard to watch because I was getting a headache because it was out of focus.
And you've got your 3D glasses, and that makes it worse.
And so every shot that's supposed to be breathtaking is annoying. Because I'm sitting next to Nicholas Harum, who was on the show last week, who used to install digital projectors. So he knows what he's talking about.
He does know a thing or two about these things.
He's not just some slob who goes to the movies. He knows.
Well, he's that too.
Well, yeah. And we're agreeing, and he's taken off his glasses. I'm not trying. I walk out. I email the publicist who set up the screening, and
I can imagine how angry Nick would be at this point.
Well, I was really angry because Star Trek's going to be screening in that next week in that theater,
right.
In that house. So after the movie comes out, it didn't get fixed, and it's out of focus, and so you can't really enjoy the really cool visuals. No. Imagine watching Moulin Rouge through like Vaseline covered glasses.
That sounds unpleasant.
Yeah. So then I walk out after the show and I go up to the manager, who's this girl. She probably looks like she's like 20. And I say to her, I go, I just want to let you know, you're going to need to check that house because Great Gatsby looked terrible. I saw them trying to focus it. They didn't get it done. It was out of focus. It was dark. And it's like half the screen's darker than the other half. Mm-hmm. And it looks terrible. Mm. And she's like, well, we had a bunch of people in there watching it, and they didn't have a problem. I go, well, if they didn't have a problem, then they need to be retrained on what looks right.
Yeah.
And at that point, another woman who is the lead manager comes up. She's like, I was one of them in there, and I didn't see a problem. I go, well, then there was a problem.
Do you have glasses, and do you perhaps need them?
Yeah. And I said to her, and I go, and then I say, well, I'm with the press. I'm not just somebody at the screening. This is done. I wanted to see this movie. I wanted to like it, but it was hard to see. I know what I'm talking about. I was sitting next to somebody who used to install these projectors. He could see there was a problem. And she's like, well, that's the best we could do.
Uh-huh.
And I said to her, I go, really? You want me to go on the radio in two different stations in this market and tell people that that's the best you can do? Then she looks at me and goes, I think you need to leave.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, are you serious? She's like, yes, I think you need to leave. And so I pull out my phone and I call the reps who run the screening. And I talked to her and I said, well, they're telling me to leave because I'm telling them that the projection didn't look right. And I said, I've got Nicholas here. And he said that it didn't look right. And the rep said it didn't look right. And later on, I found some other press people are like, yeah, it looked kind of dark and out of focus to me.
Nice.
So she talks to her. And then finally, I bring Nick over. And I'm like, Nick, tell them that you used to install these things. And Nick's a little calmer because he didn't give a crap about the Great Gatsby.
It's true.
And he then says to her, he's like, well, it could be this technical thing. You might want to call Christie, which is the company that makes the projector and everything. And he's like, we've seen the trailer before. And I told her, I said, it looks bad. She's like, well, I'm sorry it wasn't at your standard. I go, well, no, it wasn't at this theater standard. She's like, you're going to have to leave.
Wow.
If you don't leave, I will have to call 911.
Oh.
And my jaw hit the floor. So there's a little bit more to this.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
But I will come back after the break, finish my crazy story about the crazy management at this theater when we get back. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. I'm in the middle of my story about the crazy theater manager at the Rave Cinemas in Columbus who threatened to call the police on me when I complained about
it. Could you give their phone number as well while we're at it?
Well, I'm just letting them know that this is here's why it's a problem. First of all, I mean, there's so many things wrong with this situation. The fact that when somebody complains about something, your go-to position is to tell them to leave or you'll call the police. I haven't even had a manager of a gas station say that to me. I mean,
that is remarkable. That's so insane. Professional.
Yeah.
Really.
And then on top of it, see, all she had to do, if she would have said, look, there was a problem with there. We're going to look into it, but there was no way we could actually stop the screening once it started. And if we needed to change the bulb, we can't do that. We'd have to move people to.
Yeah, really. All you need to say is, I'm sorry you felt that way. We'll look into it.
Yeah.
That's all you need to say.
But she was insisting there was nothing wrong. And that's the other problem.
And the thing is, you know, okay, so maybe my eyesight isn't perfect, but I see a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And I kind of know what looks good and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when things are a little bit off.
Yeah.
And it bugs me.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm not the one to yell at people like you are, and that's why I like you. That's why I like having you around, because you can tell people off when I don't. You know, and don't tell me that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a couple of movies in my day.
Well, and the other thing is, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the person's completely wrong, you, as a manager,
the customer is always right.
You apologize, you say we'll look into it, and you will try to fix it, and you thank them for the suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't argue with them on whether there's a problem. Because what had happened was after the screening, I checked my email, and the publicist from Cincinnati who set it up, she emails me, she goes, oh, they said they fixed it. I wrote, they most definitely did not fix it. And that's the problem. This is a problem with projection now, is that if the theater manager and other people in the theater are in there and they don't see that it looks substandard, that's a real problem.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is at this theater. And that's usually that theater in town has a great projection
system. Oh, yeah.
They usually do some of the best. So, yeah, I was floored. I called the people who set up the screening, and I'm talking to my rep, and I'm like, I've never been treated this way.
No.
And I sent an email to the management, her manager. He hasn't responded back to me yet.
Well, yeah, that's just completely unacceptable.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. And here's the thing. I go to that theater all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for press screenings, but to go see movies.
Right.
When they're not screened, and I got to go see them, like, on a Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
And that's a real problem. And if that's going to be the Rave Cinemas, who's got a reputation for having great experiences.
Exactly.
If that's now their new standard, that's a serious problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I even said this to the rep. I go, this impacted my enjoyment of the movie, and it's going to impact my review because, you know, Warner Brothers sent this up to get people to talk about the movie.
Right.
And talk about what was good about it. And what was the best parts of the movie, you couldn't tell. And Nicholas was like, if Star Trek is like that, and it's in that same room,
which is terrifying,
he will blow up.
Oh, he will.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be like, I can't even imagine.
You will hear it in Michigan. Let's just say that.
So yeah, that is Rave Cinema's policy right now, to threaten to call the police on people who let you know something's wrong with the movie that they're playing.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Carr almost got himself thrown out of a movie theater.
So, yeah, it was funny because the local rep who was there, he was like, I've never seen that happen. And that's just hilarious. It's been 2 days now, and they haven't called me or responded to my email or responded to my tweets to Rave Movies at
nice.
All. Nothing.
That's really professional.
Nothing.
Also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a problem. All right. So, anyways, that was an interesting story. Which leads me to my kind of sucks review for The Great Gatsby.
Yes,
not for the
understandable.
Experience. I'm sure it looks gorgeous. I'm sure if I saw it done right,
mm-hmm.
I probably would have given it a better review.
I look forward to seeing it in a different theater.
Exactly.
Not the Rave.
Anyways, let's move on to the next review, sort of.
Are we talking about movies?
Yes, still more movies.
Oh, whew. I got lost there.
Tyler Perry's Peoples. Craig Robinson from The Office plays a regular guy who must win over the approval of his girlfriend's overprotective father in order to ask for her hand in marriage.
Grace, it's been a year. It's time I met your folks.
We have been through this. Daddy would pick you apart.
What are you doing here?
Thought Saturday was the big proposal day.
She can't make a move without Daddy, you know?
Look, you are just as good as him. I mean, maybe not as good because he's a federal judge, but, you know.
Drinking You need to say, I'm marrying your daughter with or without your proof.
What are you doing here?
I came here to propose to Grace.
You want
to
be king in my castle?
But we'll settle this.
Walk through the flame and demand her.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie before.
What's ridiculous is they didn't screen this for us,
no.
First of all.
No.
That is the first thing. They didn't screen it. Not a big surprise. I haven't screened a Tyler Perry movie for us since Diary of a Mad Black
and
Woman.
And this isn't even a Tyler Perry directed movie. This is just a Tyler Perry produced movie.
Oh, my heavens.
Yes.
Yeah. There have been some screenings, so there's a little bit of, I'm like in the highest market, so there's been a little bit of reviews eking out. It's getting creamed on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like at a 30%.
My latest check, it was up to 49.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh.
I did check recently.
Well, it's going to fluctuate.
But it's not doing that great. Let's just say that.
The general consensus is this is basically a Tyler Perry remake of Meet the Parents,
mm-hmm.
as you can tell from the
trailer, perhaps?
Yeah. Yes. Trailer, description, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yes.
And there you have it. I mean, that's what you got. It's Tyler Perry's Meet the Parents with Craig Robinson and Kerry Washington and David Alan Grier.
Yes.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much
know what you're going to get from this movie.
Yeah. And they try, as I understand, they try to get a little bit crazy and silly with the slapsticky comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But like Tyler Perry always does, even in his produced movies, he tries to put in this message and these
moments. Well, of course.
Moments.
It has to be heartwarming in the end.
Yeah. Mm. So that happens. But it gets a preemptive suck because they didn't show it to us.
Yes, it does.
Properly projected or not. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. The next movie we're going to talk about is in limited release. It's called Aftershock. A group of partiers on vacation in Chile face terrors both natural and man-made after a natural disaster hits.
I feel like every girl I meet, I have to download some new app. What do I happen to meeting a girl in the park and saying, hey, how about a cup of coffee?
Don't worry, gringo. We're taking you to a nice park where you can ask a girl for coffee. Trust me.
Prison collapse. Prisoners are everywhere.
Wow, I'm glad I didn't see this before my vacation.
You know, it sounded like your when I was watching it, and then you're talking about your vacation. I'm like, yeah, you could have been in this movie.
Nice. I probably could have. Yeah.
It is it's mainly a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how you got to look at it, as a horror film. Even though it starts out just kind of as just a party movie,
mm-hmm.
and you know stuff's going to happen that's bad, it's interesting to a certain degree. But the problem is when it gets to the horror and it's this natural disaster horror and then man-made horror because they got after the natural disasters, there's a group of rapists and murderers.
Oh,
who
of course.
Lose,
you know,
that's
what happens when there's a natural disaster.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes off the rails and it becomes a part where it's trying to like punish the audience for having any sort of feeling for anybody.
Right.
And that's a problem. It's the nihilistic optimism of Funny Games mixed with the warm and fuzziness of Hostel.
Nice.
It's not going to make you feel good about yourself. It's
That's
not going to make you feel.
Great sounding movie.
It's not going to make you feel good about the human race.
I'm going to run out to see that one right after I see Tyler Perry's Peoples.
Yeah, maybe Tyler Perry's Aftershock would be better.
Nice.
I didn't hate Aftershock. That's the thing. I didn't hate it. I know people that hated it
because mm-hmm.
I know people saw it at like Fantastic Fest.
Okay.
And there are people that hated it, and it's gotten middling reviews. For the right audience, sure. For the right audience, for sort of the gore hounds, if you liked Hostel and that kind of thing, even though Hostel has more of a moral compass to it,
yikes.
It can work. But look, it's not what you want to take your mom to on Mother's Day.
Really?
This weekend.
Oh, well, there go my plans.
unless your idea is, let's take her, get a nice dinner, and then punch her in the gut. And then go see this movie.
If you're working for the inheritance and you want to shock your mother into a heart attack.
There you go.
There you go.
We got to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to take our voicemail. And then we're going to talk a little bit about DVDs and Blu-rays, of course.
my shirt so sexy it hurts.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Yep.
I'm still kind of reeling from this whole story. I'm a little bit speechless right now.
Yeah, not Ooh. From Aftershock, the aftershock of The Great Gatsby.
Yes. I'm a little bit stunned.
This is bigger than the Great Red Dawn kerfuffle of November.
And you know, the thing is, I said that when we got back to, and you hinted that something had happened and it may have involved the police. And I said that to my husband. I'm like, see, this is what happens when I miss a screening.
You go
every single time.
You go out of town.
Anytime I miss a screening, I missed Red Dawn. I missed this. I missed Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. And there was almost a fist fight. Mm. This is what happens when I miss a screening. See, I am the peacekeeper.
You are.
I am. I am the peacekeeper at Columbus screenings.
Your existence, the mere presence of you.
I am a calming presence at screenings.
Let's either
or everybody else gets together and makes up stories while I'm gone.
That's totally.
Let's tell Kristen that something really crazy happened. Let's get her story straight.
They're like, the army showed up.
Yeah.
And then ninjas.
This is what happens when you don't go to a screening. See, it just makes me feel guilty. Thanks a lot. I miss all the fun.
Yes. Shall we do a voicemail? Shall we respond to Thomas from Seattle?
Let's do that.
All right. Here's a question from our good friend Thomas from Seattle.
Hello, Thomas. Listener.
And this is what he has to ask.
Hi, Kevin. This is Thomas from Seattle. I had another question for you, Kristen, this week. Since I'm from Texas and all, I've been kind of a Matthew McConaughey fan since he's kind of one of our own. I know that he had like a really rough patch for movies back in the last decade, and now it seems like he's making a creative comeback. He got criticized a lot back then for like making movies just for the money. Is it possible that he made some movies that just, you know, he thought that they were a good idea at the time and they just didn't turn out very well? Can you say that person's guilty of making a movie for the money? Like Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, he's not making movies for a few thousand dollars. He's making movies for like $30 million, $40 million. Why doesn't he ever get confused of making movies just for the money? He never does a small indie drama like McConaughey's been doing the last few years. So why isn't he ever called on that? Great show. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Do you want to go first on responding to him, or would you like me?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ground to cover. So okay. I'm going to let you jump on it first.
Here's the thing when it comes... You got two questions. You're talking about Matthew McConaughey. You're talking about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
It's part of the problem with Leonardo DiCaprio, with Matthew McConaughey, it wasn't that his career hit the skids. It's just that he was not doing movies that were getting respect by the critical community.
Mm-hmm.
Movies like Failure to Launch and Fool's Gold and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, those kind of movies.
Yes.
So they did very well. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days did very, very well. Mm-hmm. Failure to Launch did pretty well. And so did Fool's Gold. They were raked over the coals by the critics.
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo DiCaprio is not in that position right now.
No.
If Leonardo DiCaprio starts making a string of crappy romantic comedies, oops.
Yes.
Almost stumbled there.
We would have a completely different story. Because, I guess I look at it, there are different ways that actors approach their careers.
Yeah.
You know, some, they take the advice of their agent who tells them, well, this is the movie that you need to make.
Yeah.
Some of them go in because it's the project that they're really interested in. I don't think Matthew McConaughey is quite that way. And I don't think he's in it just, you know, to see which movies he can make the most money on either. I think, you know, you see pictures of Matthew McConaughey. He runs around, he surfs, and he doesn't wear a shirt, and he plays the bongos. This guy, he just kind of wants to have fun with it. And I don't think he cares about how much money he makes because he doesn't even have to buy shirts.
No,
he's so, I think he's just going out there and, you know, having fun with his career. And you know what? More power to him for it.
Yeah. Well, and even if you look at the resurgence he's had, half his resurgence was from Magic Mike.
Exactly.
Which, again, was him running around without a shirt on.
And there is a great clip of him from one of the award shows talking about how he had to take his clothes off to win an award.
Yeah.
You know, that's just how it is. He has that kind of laid-back attitude toward it. Hey, here I am doing my thing.
Well, the other thing with Leonardo DiCaprio is, from a facial perspective. And this is going to be, this is me being very, very superficial.
This is interesting.
He's not an immediately super attractive guy. He's not a GQ model
in the
face.
He still looks like he's 14.
He's got a little bit of some odd features. Now, it works for him. And, like, when he beefs up, he actually looks really fit. He looks really fit for Great Gatsby. Mm-hmm. So it works, and he's a good-looking guy, but sort of that he's lost that boyish look from, well, the good kind of boyish look from Titanic.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And so he's not going to be making these movies like Fool's Gold and Sahara.
It's true.
He's doing movies like The Great Gatsby.
He does his artistic films, yes. Yeah.
I think if he started to do just, like I said, a string of crappy romantic comedies...
I don't know that they would hire him for crappy romantic comedies. That's the thing. Yeah. He's just not the crappy romantic comedy kind of guy.
And Matthew McConaughey
totally
fits it.
Yeah, it would be really weird if Leonardo DiCaprio did a crappy romantic comedy. I don't think anybody would see it.
I think he would, just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
Because it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Sort of like James Franco going on General Hospital.
Exactly.
Just to see what happens.
Let's just try this out and see what happens.
Yeah. So I think that's the difference. Do we treat everybody differently? Yes, we do. We treat everybody differently in real life. We treat actors differently. And there's no change there. And the other thing is, with Matthew McConaughey, while he had certain performances that got him noticed, you know, like Dazed and Confused, these kind of performances, he was not the winning awards kind of guy ever. Every now and then would come out with something that was interesting.
Yeah.
But he wasn't exactly... hailed it as the greatest actor of our time ever.
No, not really.
Maybe his mom said that once.
Probably.
Yeah. Or my mom. I don't know. She probably likes him without a shirt on, too. So, does that answer your question, Thomas? I'm sure you'll call us next week and let us know if it does.
Please do.
But now, well, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and now it is time for... the world-famous...
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw!
Woo!
Here we go. The first one on the list is Jack Reacher.
Wah, wah.
Not a very good movie.
No, not so much.
Yeah.
It makes me sad to think about it, really.
You go back, you're like, oh, I remember that movie.
I know that you have a different stinker of the week, but this one is mine.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just really kind of bad.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is, you know... don't cast Tom Cruise as a tough, muscle-bound guy. It doesn't work.
My favorite line in there is when they're trying to track him down, and he says, they're trying to track him down
I know which line you're talking about.
The guy at a motel, and they're like, well, they want to find out. Tell me the guy who looks like he could kill a woman with one punch.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
I was so confused by that line. I'm like, was there a different guy?
Now, if you had somebody like, even like Michael Shannon, who's tall, but he's not massive.
He looks menacing.
Yeah. I could see, I can see Michael Shannon killing somebody with one punch.
Tom Cruise looks a little bit crazy sometimes, but, you know, jumping on a couch crazy. Not like killing a person with his bare hands crazy.
Exactly.
No.
Speaking of movies that aren't all that good, Safe Haven is also
on
the DVD.
Hello, Safe Haven. Hello, Nicholas Sparks.
Oh, heavens to mercy.
We actually, this one was a lot of fun for me. I really thoroughly enjoyed the screening, not because of the movie that was playing, but because of the game we had going on.
Yeah, we were eating cookies and like taking bets on who was going to die.
It's true. And just for the record, I won.
Yes. But you brought cookies, and that's a good thing.
I did.
There's also Mama, which is a interesting horror movie, which is... short film's better, but it's neat enough. Did you get a chance to see Mama?
I didn't know.
It's creepy.
Jessica Chastain.
I showed it to my kids.
She's all over the place. You showed it to your kids.
And they yelped a couple times.
Of course you did.
A couple other ones. The Oranges, which is it's an independent-y kind of quirky family comedy. It's not bad if you like that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The Great Escape is on Blu-ray for the first time, which is a classic film.
Yes.
Check that out. The ABCs of Death, which is a horror movie with 26 different shorts.
Sounds fascinating.
So, about people dying. There's also 30 Rock Season 7 and Fringe Season 5. Those are the final seasons of those. And then My Stinker of the Week's Private Practice Season 6, which is also a final season, thank God, because it's a terrible show. Your Stinker of the Week was Jack Reacher?
Yes. Yes. I've never seen Private Practice, so I'm going to give it to Jack Reacher because I did see that and it hurt.
You're a better person than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, review wrap-up. The Great Gatsby, I said, kind of sucks. Partly because if you're going to go see it, make sure it's projected properly. I'm sure it's decent.
It sounds like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tyler Perry's Peoples, Preemptive Suck, Aftershock, kind of sucks. Could have been better.
It's a rough week.
Yeah.
Anyways, back and see Iron Man again.
What was your box office prediction? What do you think is going
to
win?
I'm going to give it to Iron Man.
Yeah.
I'll give it 60.
I'm giving 75.
All right.
I'll declare victory later.
Yes, you will.
Next week, we're going to be talking about Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yay.
And we're going to have a little bit of a geek out. We'll see if that screen at the rave gets
We'll see
fixed.
How that goes. We'll see. I may be doing the show the next week by myself after Kevin ends up in jail.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk to you guys next week.
See ya.